25. In fact, we're going to be looking at a couple of different passages this morning. And Genesis chapter 45, and also Psalms 121. That's where we're going to, the main part of our text is going to be. So before we really get into it, will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would just guide us in the understanding of your word. I pray for the leading power of your Holy Spirit, because you know, Lord, I really just can't do this without you. And I just pray that you would just give me the right words to speak, the things to say. And I ask that you would touch your people and that you'll bless them and that you'll just encourage them, Lord, with your words. Help us to seek your face in all the things we do. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just bless us and to be able to do the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we get to Genesis chapter 45, you know, we've been talking about Joseph for a while. And last week we talked about Judah. Well, Judah, it's obvious he's broken. You know, he knows his past has been a train wreck. And now he has promised his father, I'm going to take care of your son Benjamin. And he thinks Benjamin is going to have to stay because he's been caught with Joseph's cup, the governor's cup in his bag. And he's just been told Benjamin is going to be a slave for the rest of his life. And Judah realizes if this happens, not only am I not going to be able to keep a promise to my father, I'm going to lose Benjamin, and my father, he's going to die. He's going to have a heart attack when I tell him. And he begins to just beg and to plead to Joseph, don't do this. He doesn't know it's Joseph, of course. We kind of know the backstory of it. But Judah doesn't. He thinks this governor is an Egyptian who is about to just destroy the family for something that he knows his sin of the past. And he begins to plead, don't do this. Take me instead. And all of a sudden, the governor begins to weep. He begins to cry. Can't control really his own emotions anymore as he sees the brokenness of all of his brothers, especially Judah. And he sees their hearts changed. And he cries and all. And can you imagine? It goes from the brothers crying and being upset to now the governor. You know, what's his problem? Why is he upset? And he causes all of his other people that are helping him to leave the room. And he's left alone with just his brothers in there. And he says, I'm Joseph. And now they don't just jump up and start shouting. They're shocked. Who? How do you know about Joseph? And he says, I'm Joseph. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me into slavery. God sent me here. How about that attitude that he takes on? He's like, I wasn't sold into slavery. God sent me. He sent me on a mission field for this purpose, to preserve you a future, to preserve you a posterity so that all of your goods aren't consumed. You think the famine's been bad for 2 years? He says there's 5 more years. The famine is going to be worse. You're not going to be able to harvest anything. There's going to be nothing to harvest. It's going to be that bad. And God sent me here before you to prepare you a place so that whenever the world is collapsing and falling apart, you guys will be okay. God did that. Only God can look down through time and say, I've got to prepare somebody. Joseph's heart is right. Takes him as a 17-year-old kid. Sells him into slavery. He thinks this isn't good at first, but God prepares him in Potiphar's house. Teaches him Egyptian. Teaches him how things work in Egypt. Then sends him to the ward where he ends up meeting two officials from the king's court and is able to interpret their dreams. When Pharaoh has a dream that no one can understand, He remembers this young man that's in the prison house. He can understand dreams. And he's called out, and he goes from a prisoner to the governor in one day. And Pharaoh thinks, this is great. This guy is saving Egypt. He's making me rich. It wasn't for Pharaoh. It wasn't for Egypt. It was for Israel. All of that was to preserve God's people. He made a promise to his people. I would take care of you. I'm going to make sure that you have a place to stay. I'm going to take care of your descendants. They're going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. Israel, that's your promise from Almighty God. And he prepares the way through Joseph. Joseph is able to preserve Israel, or God preserves Israel through Joseph. And Joseph says, go tell my father, I'm alive. And they're still in shock. And he says, look at me. Look at my eyes. Look at Benjamin's eyes. We have the same parents. We look alike, don't we? And they say, yeah, this really is Joseph. And all of a sudden, the ice is broken, and Joseph goes around, and he's hugging his brothers. You know, he cares about his brothers. Even though they did him wrong, he's been praying for them. He's been wondering, God, why did you allow all this to happen in my life? It was so that you could preserve my people when the time is right. And he talks to him, and he gives him a change of garments. But for Benjamin, he gives him 5 garments and gives him a bunch of money. And then gives him a bunch of grain and food and some other things to be able to go back. Show my father. His son is still alive. Pharaoh hears about it. He's excited. Man, Joseph's family is here. And they're in trouble. They need help. Pharaoh tells Joseph, Joseph, just don't send enough food. Send the wagon. Send the U-Hauls. The Egyptian U-Haul service. Wouldn't that be a good if you're going to be a shipping? The Egyptian U-Haul. Anyway, they go with all the wagons and all the animals that they need to bring them back. And they begin to tell Israel, Joseph's alive. He's like, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. And they're like, no, Dad, come on. Come outside. See what the Joseph sent back with us. And he steps outside and he sees this caravan of wagons. Joseph said, you need to come to Egypt so he can take care of you. And he's like, this is enough. I will go and I will see my son before I die. Now, we'll get to what happens next week. But think about it. All of that, Joseph tells them, look with me in the scriptures of 45, Genesis 45 and verse 5. He says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. These 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Aren't you glad this morning that God can look through your future and he knows the places where you need a preserver? He knows the place where you need a deliverer. He knows when the times are going to get tough and you're going to need something there, someone there to help you through it. God knows. He knows. Look with me in Psalms 121. You know, when you're going through hard times, it's really good to know this passage of Scripture in Psalms 121. Joseph understood it. I think Israel understood it. In verse 1 it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Do you know what's in the hills? Why would he say, look up into the hills? He says, lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Listen, when things are rough, you've got to look somewhere higher than you are. You've got to look up somewhere that's above you. You try to do it on your own, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to fail. You're going to be depressed. You have to look to a higher source. The psalmist realized that. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. What does that mean? That means that I'm not going to get focused on my here and my now. I'm going to look towards something that's greater than I am. I'm not going to look at this temporary thing when there's something better waiting for me in the future. So many people, they get so wrapped up in the here and the now, they can't look anywhere past their own circumstance. You know, Brother Sean was telling us about a friend that he had that committed suicide. He's got four little boys. You know what he did? He looked at the here and now, and he thought about a permanent solution to a temporary circumstance. And that's not the way God's people need to think. We don't need to think permanent about temporary stuff. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. Everything here is a temporary thing. It doesn't matter how good or how bad. It's temporary. It's going to pass. But there is one thing that is permanent. It is eternity. And that's what you have to keep your eyes on. No matter how bad it is, this too will pass. It will end. Joseph understood that. And he realized, I'm here because God is way above the hills. If I could just look up there and I could just see Him working, and I don't get so wrapped up in what's going on today, I don't get so wrapped up in this life, but I look to see, what is God doing with me? How is He preparing me? He's preparing you to be a life preserver for somebody. Everything that you're going through will help somebody one day if you would submit yourselves unto God. It may be that when someone else gets to that hill one day and they look up and they're looking for God, and they're going to see you because God has put you in that place so that you can show them. You can show them you don't have to depend on this. You don't have to get sucked into it. This is how God helped me through it when I went through it. This is how God, what God can do for you. What if Joseph had gotten sucked into his environment? I've been sold as a slave. I've been put in prison for a crime that I didn't commit. I don't care what your dreams are. Dreams really don't come true. What if that had been his attitude? Would God been able to use him? He wouldn't have. He would have been right. But that wasn't his attitude. That shouldn't be our attitude. That's why the psalmist says, look unto the hills. God's preparing you for something. Look unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Look at verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God sends help. I don't know how many times in my life, when I'm struggling the most, God sends help. You know, I wish I could testify without calling names of when I'm praying the hardest. I'm like, God, I need help. And God would send people into my life. Good people. Sometimes there are people that are struggling. But one of the things that I've seen is when I'm helping other people who are struggling, I forget about my own self. I forget about my own misery. God doesn't want you to be so wrapped up in yourself. He wants you to be thinking about others. He wants you to be able to strengthen them. God will send help. Look in verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You know, one of the things that we forget sometimes is God is not interested in you failing. You know, a lot of times we think, I failed. God can't use me. I messed up too bad. I'm no good anymore. It just can't be. I'm too broken. How many times I've witnessed to people and I'm like, God loves you. He wants to save you. And they're like, He can't save me. I've messed up too bad. Even Christians, they'll think, no, I can't be used by God because of the things that I've done in my past. Listen, God can use you if you'll be used. He's not interested in you failing. I can remember back in my military days, I used to train people how to work on the missiles that I worked on. And you don't know how many times we would go out to work on something and it would break. And you would think, well, you failed. Instead of fixing it, you broke it. You broke it worse than it already was. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, that seems to be what happened. We broke it. And then I had a supervisor, he told me this, and I thought it was good counsel. He's like, you don't need to look at it as a failure. You just need to look at it as a good training experience. A lot of times, when we think that we failed, it was just good training. And we go through some things sometimes that we don't like. We think we've messed up. But God's all right with that because he knows that through what you think is a failure, He can grow you. Should I go back to all the way to Adam and show you how many times our heroes of the Scripture failed? But what does the Scripture say? Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. God accepts him back. He's not done with you if you mess up. What He wants to do is He wants you to recommit. Even if you failed, He wants you to recommit. God, I messed up. All right. Stand up on your feet. Stay strong. Encourage Him. Encourage you. Now let's go forward. Let's go from Him, from here. His mercies, the Scripture tells us, are renewed every morning. Look at the next part of that. Our 1 Peter 1:5 says it like this: who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, if you think I failed, you're going to think, man, am I even saved? The Scripture tells us you're not even responsible for keeping yourself. God keeps you. Hey, here's this word, preserves you. Hebrews teaches us that. All through the Scripture, it teaches us that. That we cannot keep ourselves. We cannot preserve ourselves. The Scripture Jesus would even teach. He says, I've got you in my hand. In fact, I've got you good. But if that wasn't enough, the Father has His hand wrapped around you too. So that you cannot escape. You can't get away. He says, on me is who keeps you. 1 Peter 1:5, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Look in the second part of verse 3. He says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Aren't you glad today that God doesn't sleep on the job? You know, I can remember times when I went to work and I'm running tests on the weapons, and they had these big units. It was a computer that, you know, the size of a pew, and it would just hum. You know, and I'm working a night shift. Rick can understand this. You know, sometimes if you get still and there's a hum, it doesn't matter if you're standing, walking, I blinked one time and I was out. I didn't even know I was just gone. I didn't even know. Somebody came up and kind of messed with my chair. You know, we'd mess with people because it happened a lot on that night shift whenever you'd sit down and you get the hum going on. Shake your chair, startle you, you think you're falling. Hey, God doesn't sleep on the job. He doesn't get tired. He's awake. I can remember Elijah whenever he's on Mount Carmel and there's the 400 worshipers of Baal out there, and he says, and there's just him, and he says, here's the deal. Whoever is God sends down fire from heaven, he's God. He's the one who we should serve. And they take the challenge. And they're out there and they're worshiping Baal, and they're seeing no fire. They begin cutting themselves, and they're crying and they're shouting and trying to get Baal to bring down fire. And Elijah starts making fun of them. He's like, hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. And they begin to get just furious at him. But there's no fire. And they begin to yell louder and scream harder. And finally Elijah is over it, and he's like, enough, my turn. He doesn't have to yell. He doesn't have to scream. He doesn't have to jump up and down and make a show. He just kneels down before God. In fact, what he does is he dampens it. He saturates the altar and the wood. Man, you're not going to get this thing to light. You ever heard that phrase? If this doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. God lit that fire. He said, God, just show them that you're God. Fire came down from heaven. Hey, he is not asleep. He is there. He's waiting for you. If your wood's wet, God can light your fire. It doesn't matter how wet it is. He never sleeps on the job. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't take a vacation. He is always 24/7 Almighty God. He is there for you when you need him the most. In fact, he's thinking about you when you're not thinking about yourself. And he is preserving the future for you. Would you listen? He keeps you. Always. He's not going to go to sleep on the job. He doesn't get tired. Look at verse 5. It says, the Lord is thy keeper. This word keeper is like a guard. He's the one who watches over you. You know, I can think of times when I had to do guard duty. They would post me out in front, and I'd have an M16, and I'm walking around. I feel like I'm doing nothing, but I'm making sure people are safe. If you're on the other side there and you see me, you're concerned. Like, I'm not messing with that. I'm not going to mess with somebody holding 120 rounds of a magazine with an M16. No, I'm not going to mess with that. Listen, God is much more powerful than an M16 ever thought about being. God's guarding you. He's watching over you. He cares what's going on in your life. Don't ever think God doesn't care. God does care. But he may be preserving the future for somebody. When you think it's bad, it may not be really what's bad. It may be God sent you to prepare you to preserve someone else. What is your attitude towards the things that are going on in your life? You know, this week, I tell you what, we had a bad week. It was bad. Everybody in my house was offended in one day. All kinds of stuff happened. We were upset about something, bunches of things. The dog was attacked by other dogs. I mean, like, it was just a mess. Find out all of our friends are having breakdowns. Not all. Some personal friends that we've known for a long time. And we're bearing that on our shoulders. We're like, man, everybody, what is going on? Hey, the devil wants you to get down. But what the devil means for evil, God can use for good. And he wants to preserve you. And it's tough. It's tough to think like that. I know it's hard to think like that. I'm there. I've been there. I'll be there again. God is your guard watching over you. Look at the rest of that verse. It says, "The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand." You know, I had to look this up. I didn't understand this very much. I understand the right hand, that's your strength. But why the shade? What it is it's signifying somebody casting a shade on your offensive side. If you're swinging a sword, your shield's going to be in this hand. So how do you defend this side? Well, that's what armor bearers do. And God is your shade. He is your armor bearer. He's your shield. Whenever you're being offensive, He can protect that side of you, so that you don't have to get stuck. You can say, you know what? I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press towards the mark. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, because I know He's got me. He's got me. He's watching over me. He's my keeper, and He's my shield. Look at the next part of this verse in verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I already said it once, but that's just saying God is 24/7 God. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a vacation. You know, a lot of times we don't understand what that means. It's kind of like a father. When does a father quit getting to be a father? He's always. When does a mom quit getting to be a mom? Never. Now, you may be derelict in your duty, but you're always a mom. You want to see a mom at work? You let her have a baby. She is 24/7. Literally, if that joker squeaks, she's up taking care of them. If they cry, she's there to comfort. If they're hungry, she's there to feed. It doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter where. In the car, I've had to pull over the car a bunch of times so that mom, she's like, I got to take care of that baby. 24/7. God is 24/7 God. It doesn't matter the sun, the moon, 24/7, all day long, every day of the week, all the days of the year, God's God. He's not taking a break, because He's there to preserve you. Look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. You know, sometimes we wonder what this means. Look with, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Romans chapter 8, this is a good verse. You know, when I lead somebody to salvation, a lot of times, you know, we go through the Romans road, or maybe Matthew chapter 5, or maybe a variety of verses, and they'll say, "Well, I believe in Jesus. I've accepted Him as my Lord," and I always want to give them something to help them know God's going to take care of you, that you're saved, and that nothing can take you away from God now. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" He asked that question. Who is powerful enough? Who is evil enough? What is evil enough? He says, nothing. Nothing is. Look what he says. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Do you believe that? The Apostle Paul would continue. He would say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me tell you that there's nothing that has enough power in this universe to separate you from God's love and His hand. Once He's got you, He's got you. You're not even powerful enough to take yourself away if you would. You just can't. You're not strong enough. but God is strong enough to keep you and to preserve you. Nothing can take you away from Him. Once you're His, you are His. He preserves you because He loves you. He cares about what's going on in your life, whether it's good or it's bad. He also cares what's going on in other people's lives, whether it's good or bad. And sometimes you are going to be the vessel of preservation for somebody, just like Joseph was. Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe it. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Proverbs 1 and verse 3 says it like this, and ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord is with you in every single thing that you do. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What's the song that we see? I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. Y'all remember that old song? Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Are you like that tree that shall not be moved? If you are, this is what you'll do. When problems come in your life, you realize God has got a plan and I can trust Him no matter what. When those problems come, I can look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. I realize He's not going to suffer my foot to be moved. He's going to keep me and He will not slumber. He is my shade by night, He is my shade on my right hand, my keeper. The sun's not going to hurt me. The moon by day, the moon by night, God's going to preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. Man, I'm thankful He's looked after my soul. You know, I've given Him plenty of chances to take me out, and He has preserved my life over and over again. Not just my life, but my eternal destiny. The Lord shall preserve thy going forth and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I'm so glad that God has preserved me in all His ways. I'm so thankful for a story like Joseph's, that I can see all the bad things that happened in his life and know that he did it for a reason. He did it to preserve all of Israel and his sons and his daughters and the future children to come. I'm thankful that he did it because out of that branch came forth Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And as I'm thinking on these things, I started thinking, you know, how many times through the Scripture that God was a preserver, that He preserved His people? And I started thinking, God, whenever the flood came, God was the ark during that flood, wasn't He? When Abraham is about to stab his son Isaac, he was that tangled ram up in the thorns when that knife was about to fall. When the famine came, God was Goshen during that famine. He was Moses when I'm in slavery. He's a fire to light our dark nights. He's a cloud to shade the heat of the day. He's that dry path when we have to walk through the waters. He's Mount Sinai when we're in the wilderness. He's the flowing water from the rock in the desert place. He's the manna when you're hungry. He was Joshua when the walls were tall. He was David when that giant was raging. He's wonderful when life is awful. He's Counselor when life is crazy. He's the Mighty God when I am weak. He's the Everlasting Father when I feel like a failure. He's the Prince of Peace when war is waging. He's the Third Day when Satan thinks he's won. He's the Resurrection when death death sting threatens. He's life when I feel like death. Hey, he's the coming of Christ when I just can't take anymore. God is Jesus Christ, the preserver of your life and your soul. What do you need to do with this? Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the story of Joseph. I want to thank you that he didn't fail. He didn't give in to his feelings. But Lord, he looked to you and he realized it wasn't his brothers that sold him, but it was you who sent him. Lord, there is so much there that is so difficult for us to accept, because you know, Lord, that we go through things and it's hard for us to accept that you sent us to that, and that we need to learn from what you are training us for. Help us, Lord, to be preservers for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we look to that day that we need our own preservers that you have prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to keep the faith, to stay strong in you, and to be an encouragement to others. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the song leader and the pianist would come, I want you to think about something just for a moment. You know, I gave you a list of several things where God was the preserver, but I just had to stop because the list could go on and on and on and on. It's all through the Bible where God preserves His people. Think back in your life. Where has God preserved you? You look back there, man, that was a tough time. And God sent this person. He did this. Or maybe you can look to a time when someone else was going through it, the rough time. Maybe you were the preserver. God had prepared you to be able to help them. Hey, it's all through the Scripture. It's all through your life. Brother Sean.